Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Y'all better not come to my studio with that fake shit. Y'all better not come to my funeral with that fake shit. Y'all better off realizing there's nothing that y'all could do with me. All I ever ask is keep it 8 more than 92 with me. One.
What up, though? May 29th, 2017. Happy Memorial Day to all of the current and ex-military. This day is always celebrated, which is sometimes weird because there's so much negative behind it. But you know what? Let's just try to focus on the positive. Isn't that what we're always trying to do, is focus on the positive? So salute to all of my military. I hope that one day this country salutes you and allows you to smoke ganja leaf openly in public, since they won't assist in your PTSD and your mental health and homelessness and all the negative things that we all know is happening to our ex-military. And our country says, who cares? The least they could do is legalize marijuana in the entire United States so that we can all just puff every now and then, because it just makes us feel good. And some people really need it for the medicinal part. That's another great reason, right, FDA? Funny. Anyway, I hope that you guys all enjoyed your Memorial weekend. This podcast will be coming to you kind of late because I was struggling. Not sure if you saw my Snapchat, my social media, but I partied this weekend. First time celebrating Memorial weekend since I've been married. And I'm in Miami doing it, where all the thoughts were. Well, half anyways. I heard half Miami, half Vegas. So that's where all the thought and botting was going. And I saw all the memes and I laughed at my friends cracking jokes about women. And I saw one meme about a girl posting a picture in Vegas, like Vegas again for the 8th year in a row. And it was like, bitch, how many times are you going to go there? Like, how many times are you going to go to Vegas for Memorial weekend and be the same bitch? Like, do something else with your life, guys. Explore, go to other cities, like get a man, get a family, enjoy life, everybody. You don't have to always go somewhere. Just enjoy the people around you. Spend time with them. You don't have to be in Vegas. Vegas is fucking the devil. It's the devil. And I used to love the devil, but it's not where it's at, y'all. Make memories with good people, not good cities. Anyway, I'm done being an old washed ass married bitch with children, with child. Ooh, children. Woo. Scared me. Cannot be pregnant ever again. But anyways, today's episode, I decided to have a friend of both my husband and I on. His name is Robert McLean. He is a defensive back in the NFL. I believe this is going on year 8 for him. And he's had a, you know, pretty interesting career. So I wanted to give you guys an insight on his life and, you know, where he came from. And if I know Rob, he's going to give us some good shit, because Rob's a smart guy. Rob has been a lot of places. He's seen a lot of things. And so I'm anticipating a really, really good episode. So let's get started. Black Rob.
What's up?
What's good?
Chilling, chilling.
Thank you for finally coming on.
Nah, you're welcome.
You're like family, so I feel like I should have had you on a long time ago.
Nah, it's all good.
But you're finally on with me. What's going on with you?
Cool and cool. Enjoying this Tampa weather.
Tampa. That's where we at right now, right?
Yep.
We in Tampa. So introduce yourself to my listeners, for those that do not know you.
Well, I'm Rob McLean, played cornerback for the Buccaneers. going on 8th year in the NFL. Just trying to last as long as I can. Shoot.
Last as long as you can. So let's give them a little bit of Rob, because I feel like, you know, I always have guys on that just get no press that should, but you know, I want them to know who you are. And so I have a lot of Bucks fans that are listening, and so I want them to be, you know, prepared for, you know, who you are. So let's go back to the beginning and tell my listeners where you from, homie.
Oh, North Philly. North Philly. Oh, you already know it.
So you from one of the dirtiest cities in America.
Yep. Way dirtier than New York. I'm talking about, we got trash all in the middle of the streets.
Y'all niggas park in the median in the middle of the street. That's a dirty ass city for niggas to just park in the middle of the street. I don't think I've ever seen that in America.
Yeah, when people say they visit Philly, I mean, I don't see why, besides the history of the city. I mean, that's the only reason people really go there, to see, you know, Liberty Bell and whatnot. But other than that, I mean, that's about it.
Do you ever go home?
Oh yeah, I go home all the time, see my family. All my family's either in Philly or in New York.
So you wouldn't ever just retire there, like, you know, and going home?
Nah. I'm not retiring to Philly.
You've been too many places.
Yeah, I've been to many places. I retire my butt right in Atlanta.
Right in Atlanta. Man, so what sports did you play in high school? Besides obviously football.
Yeah, obviously football, but I did indoor and outdoor track, and then baseball my senior year.
What events did you run in track? 100, track, long jump, typical?
Yeah, 100. Yep, 100, long jump. And my sophomore year, I did 300-meter hurdles.
Okay.
And then 110 hurdles my sophomore year. And then eventually, I just started branching off just sprinting events and then long jump.
Okay.
So I won states in indoor my senior year, and then got second in states my outdoor year, that senior year.
So you had wheels?
Oh, yeah, I had some wheels. I ran a... Going into my senior year, we had this Penn State Nike camp that me, Vontae Davis, a bunch of my high school friends are in the league now, went to.
Mm-hmm.
And I ran 4.38 up there at that Nike camp.
Mm.
coming out of my junior year. That was when I was in pure track shape, though.
Pure track shape.
Start was good, everything.
What do you think? I'm jumping all over the place, so just follow me, my nigga. You know I'm high. So when I hear you talking about pure track shape and how you was running and everything, what do you think of the combine and the 40 times? And do you think that those stats are important measures for football players?
Nah, I think it's just like something they can use to say, like, oh, this guy can do this, that guy can do that. I think it's really like just doing a bunch of drill. I feel like you can get more doing a DB drill than doing a 40-yard dash and a broad jump. There's not one time I'm going to line up with a 3-point stance and be like sprinting off the line of scrimmage. Like it's more to football than it is jumping and all that type of stuff. I mean, yeah, you got to be able to jump, you got to be able to run, but you got to be able to move a certain way when you play at this level.
I agree. I love that you said that. I thought I was going to have to get you together, but yeah, we agree.
Yeah, because there's dudes out there that, shoot, they're the slow as heck, but can play the position and play for a long time. You know, especially the corner position, you got to be able to do, you got to have good hips, you got to be able to move, you got to be able to get out of breaks and stuff like that. So there's not one time that 40-yard dash or that broad jump or the vertical jump is going to show all that.
When that 40 show up, after he's beat, if he could catch the nigga that he just got juiced.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? That's when you need the 40, when a nigga get beat and you need him to hawk somebody. That's when the 40 is important.
That's the only time it works.
Right. Oh, my God. Shut, man. Anyways, so after high school, you decided to go to UConn.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what other schools, like, were you interested in? Because UConn, I'm going to keep it real with you, it's like a basketball school. Is that shame? Like, niggas know UConn from hoops, you know, like, not as much football. So why do you think that's a myth?
Right, that's how it was. Because I think, what year did they win the men's and women's one championship? I think it may have been, like, 2003 or 2004.
Mm-hmm.
Forgot what year it was. But, yeah, UConn was always known for just basketball. But, I mean, the years I was up there, we had a real good football team defensively wise. We never had a real good offense where it's like a high caliber college offense. You know, we won the games we were supposed to win, but I got recruited from to there to like a bunch of other D1 schools like VTech, North Carolina, but a lot of schools want me to play running back. So I came in at UConn as running back. And a bunch of guys
Oh.
I kicked off the team and I moved over on defense. My good friend Darius Butler told me to come over on defense because I need help at the nickel spot. So
So
that's
you
when I
just said
decided to just
fuck
come
it.
over.
You know, a lot of corners used to be running backs in high school. Brent used to be a running back in high school, and then he
I
went to
miss playing
college
running
as a
back.
running back and then ended up switching over to DB. Why do you think that happened so much?
I don't know. I suppose I did it because, the coach is like, all right, we need a player that's come over on defense to be able to move and play the position well, So I'm like, shoot, I consider myself an athlete. So I mean, as much as I miss running back, I don't miss it too much now. I'm not trying to get hit like they get hit, but I'm like, I miss those times when you got the ball in your hands, you can make somebody miss. It's almost like hooping almost, but you get to kind of choose where you want to go when you have run when you're running the ball like that. So
Yeah.
I miss it in that aspect, but the hits they take now, I'm like, no, nah, I'm good.
You care, huh? You
Yeah,
care
I care
about
about my body.
yourself.
Yeah, for real.
So you get to UConn. How was college? How was it playing for a Division One school? Like, it's a big, still a pretty big school, but you're in Connecticut. Like, how was it?
It was cool. I liked it. I'm glad I chose that university because, the people I met up there, my friends, my teammates, and the coaches and stuff, the people I surrounded myself around. There's still some of my good friends today that I could talk to and like go out with, and they can come by my house or they could watch my daughter or whatnot. It's still people I still keep real close in touch to and still have connections to the other outside stuff besides football on the outside world. And I'm in my head, I think back to a lot of times I was like, man, I wish I can't wait to get out of college, can't wait to do this outside of college. But now I'm like, man, I miss it. It was like it was
Cause you in
stress free,
the,
no bills,
yeah, that
nothing.
you in the real world now. Like this is real life. In college, it's like, you're still like a kid kind of. You're grown. You can make grown up mistakes that can change your life like really badly, but you're still a kid, for the most part, if you go to college,
Cause so the decisions I make now, they matter now. Like college is like, all right, I can mess up a little bit. I don't have to worry about this, worry about paying that, cause everything's taken care of by the school. But it's like, shoot, now, shoot, I gotta take care of all that. Nobody else to lift me up or be there to lean on, sometime.
So after high school and college and playing sports, what would you say is like your best memory?
Best memory from like high school and college or in
Or both,
sports?
each one, like in high school, like I mean, like did you ever break any records? Did you have like a crazy play or anything like that, like that you just remember?
Yeah, high school, I'll say it was probably my senior year. It was one game that I really just had a lot of fun. It was a rival school that they built down the street like the year before. And it was a big high school. They were a 4A school. They dropped us down to 2A because they built that school. And it was a rainy game. So we was only like five or six games in the state being played that day. And our coach decided like, yo, we're gonna play this game. It was like freezing cold rain, and I almost broke our rushing record for one of our good running backs that was a freshman All-American at UConn named Terry Culley. This dude was like, he, I mean, he was on a path to like be one of the greatest running backs in college. The way he was running his freshman year, and he tore his ACL against Virginia Tech, and it kind of transferred his career, turned it around a little bit. But he went to the same high school I went to, and I was 3 yards off of his high school rushing record. So I rushed for 303, and my coach took me out of the fourth quarter. We didn't know about the record or anything like that. He took me out of the fourth quarter because we already knew we were going to win, and I was cramping up anyway. But I was 4 yards off of his rushing record, and I had a whole fourth quarter pretty much still to play. Which I,
Damn.
yeah, and then also I was one return off of the national record for returns in one season in high school too.
What was
So
it?
that was, I think the record was eight. And I had seven, so the last four games started kicking to me and started kicking them out of bounds. So
Oh my God.
I'd have to pick up like skip balls and try to run them on back, or hopefully the front line don't pick it up here and there. But yeah,
Niggas
we had
started
a pretty
hating
good
on you
team.
though.
Yeah, they started hating, man. They didn't want me to break that record because everybody knew I was getting close to it. So I was thinking
Damn, the
punt returns
press
back,
probably
kick
started
returns
hating
back.
on you. Like it was in the paper shit. Niggas like, not on us. Not on
Yeah,
us.
they didn't want me to break the record on them. And there was times I'm like, man, I wish I made this cut. I could have probably scored on this and had that return. But there was actually one return where I barely stepped out of bounds in high school rest. I stepped out of bounds. So I'm like, all right. So I could actually had the record tied up, but
Damn. Those
Yeah,
are
but
dope memories.
that's probably my biggest high school memories right there.
That's cool. What about college? Anything dope happen there?
College, shoot, college. There's so much in college, boy. Shoot,
You was
from
lit?
the, yeah, from the partying. 'Cause shoot, like me, I didn't really party. I didn't party like that in high school. I was
Don't
to
believe that
myself.
shit.
No, I didn't. I did. I didn't. I never. I didn't drink anything like that. I always would go to my football games and come home, or go to do. I'd be active all year of sports. So after sports, my dad be there to pick me up at the school, and I go home. I didn't go out at all in high school. I didn't start going out until I went to college and I experienced it. But college is fun, you know, because you by yourself and you just with your homies and stuff,
You
and
grown, you
that's
have to
it.
be
Yeah,
responsible.
exactly. So it's like a sense of freedom. And I don't know, college overall was just fun. But you know, my biggest memory was just my senior season in general. One of my good teammates and friends passed away that year. He got stabbed. And
I've seen you post about him a lot on social media. What was his name?
yeah, Jasper Howard. He's from Miami.
So
But yeah,
what
every
happened?
time
What happened with that?
it was a party on campus where you didn't need to have like a student ID. It was at one of our student unions on campus, and it was like an open party to anybody. And like, think of some gang kids come from Hartford, Connecticut, came up, and somebody pulled the fire alarm at the party. People were outside. It was like a little disturbance outside. I wasn't there. I was actually supposed to go out that night, but I decided to stay with my mom and dad at their hotel that night. And you know, wake up the next morning to hear about the bad news that happened after the disturbance outside, after the fire alarm was pulled. You know, I wasn't sure exactly how everything went down, but you know, just seeing my phone, all the missed calls and text messages. And I remember being a rainy, cold day and driving to the football facility from my mom's hotel, just crying the whole day. I didn't eat in like 3 days after that happened, because we were the last ones to leave the locker room after our game Saturday night. We played against Louisville, beat them like 30-something to 20.
Damn.
And he had like 12 tackles, two forced fumbles. Dude was a little dude from Miami, on it, like 168 on a good day. Like, he was just a baller, though. And we were the last ones to leave the locker room. Last time I remember him saying, he was just smiling. And we were just talking about football, and then I ended up leaving, and that was the last time I seen him. But we still finished that season strong, where we beat Notre Dame on like nationally televised TV,
Dope.
and we ended up going to a bowl game that year and beating our first SEC school, South Carolina, when
Man.
Jeffries and everybody was there. So it was a pretty good season, despite you know the loss that we suffered.
Damn, that is like I was talking to people about on the other podcast about Isaiah Thomas losing his sister, and just how sports is really one of the best places to go when you experience something like that. And I wish like everybody could experience that, because when you're playing, like you're able to just really just like block it out and focus, and you think about the person, you think about the memories and stuff, but it's so therapeutic to like play sports through something like that.
Because you know, it really brought us more together. Like, those guys that were on the team at the time, you know, you just build a connection after something like that happens, because you know, you really cherish those moments you have together, just from knowing a guy like the way Jasper was, and all of a sudden he's just gone. You know, a guy that was smiling all the time in the locker room, always having fun, always dancing, always just cracking jokes. You know what I'm saying? It was like you just cherish the small things in life after something like that happens, especially with a family like a football team.
Yeah. Well, I see you always posting stuff about him. That's pretty dope that you keep his memories alive.
Oh yeah, and I drew his tattoo for like about five or six of us that had the same tattoo on our rib for him. So I drew that like right like a week after he passed away.
Speaking of you drawing up these tattoos, a lot of people don't know that you're like an artist.
Yeah,
Like a dope fucking artist. Like, tell me
I'm all
about,
right. I'm all right.
you're not all right. You are dope. Stop playing. When people are buying your shit, that means you dope. I ain't got shit that nobody would buy. I might be all right. Aiden might be all right too. But like, your work is really good. Like, can you tell us about, art and how you got into it, and some of the things that you might plan to do with it in the future?
Yeah, well, you know, I'm actually going to start an art show with this one female. We're going to try to do an art show where it's for athletes, where athletes from any type of sport that they play, that paint, draw, whatever they do artistically, have one art show in LA, one art show in New York, with all these different athletes and just show their art out there. And you know, I've been drawing and painting since fourth grade, so it's something I just kept a passion for. I didn't go to school for it or anything. I took the regular basic courses, high school, middle school, all that, and just learned different techniques and just pursued more knowledge from it. And just eventually started developing my own style. But I came a long way from painting and stuff and drawing in high school and college. But, you know, it's just something that's like, much like my other passion with football. You know, something I try to, you know, do when I can, when I have free time, you know, when I'm just chilling or something, I try to see if I can create something. Because, you know, I gain appreciation off of it because of how others see it. You know, if other people like it, then I'm like, cool, I'll keep doing it. And it's a greater appreciation off of somebody else's gratitude towards my art pieces.
Dope. So I always say this, and it doesn't mean it's true. It's just something that I say because, you know, I think I know everything. But I always say that God gives you one gift, one, and it's your job to find it, you know, like that, your mm-hmm. gift. What do you think your gift is? Do you think it's athletics? Do you think it's art? Like, what do you think it is?
No, I don't think it's athletic. Cause shoot, by the time I'm 55, I'm probably gonna feel like I'm 80. I'm not gonna be able to do all the things I'm doing now. But
that's an athlete's life. That's an athlete's life. Yeah. You know.
But I think the gift is you know, my art.
Really?
Because I feel as though it's something I have such a strong passion for it. My uncle did too, and because he went to art school when he was about 14, and it's just something I know I can just carry on forever. Because of the appreciation I see others have from it, and how like my mind's like it becomes more and more creative every year. You know, I gain more knowledge from doing certain pieces and seeing certain people's paintings. So I feel as I'm getting better and better every year, and I feel as if I keep at the pace I'm going, you know, hopefully I can have a museum one day where I can have, you know, major pieces of mine in it. And you know, I just feel as though he's giving me that. It's because it's something I could always be creative and do myself, and the world think what they want to think of it just because it's different, you know?
Mm. Deep. How do you feel like as an artist, if somebody critiques your art in a negative way, like what's like, how do you handle that as an artist? Is there thing as like, for example, if someone came up to you and thought that something was not good, is that like an opinion thing, or is that like, do you take that into serious consideration?
Nah, sometimes it's an opinion where they don't understand it, where I explain it, where it may help them a little bit. And sometimes it's like an honest opinion. I mean, I don't mind honest opinion on my art. If somebody don't like it, shoot, let me know. Maybe I can like do something that they could see that's like, makes it even better. You know, I take everything as like good criticism. I don't take anything negative, especially my art, because art could be anything. I mean, there was one dude that commented on one of my pieces. He was like, he said something that's stupid. He was like, what is this? Like, what does this mean? Blah, this and that. I didn't even answer it. I just ignored him. I'm like, man, in the description, it explains what it is and everything. So people say some dumb stuff. So I'm like, you know what? I'm not going to respond to this. He obviously not reading it.
Mm.
So I was like, but people that have like, you know, pure criticism to it, I don't mind that. I don't mind, you know, hearing what they want to say or what they think can make it come out more and stuff like that. Cause I always like new ideas. I want knowledge with anything I'm doing in life. So.
Mm. Good. You know, some people don't know how to handle their criticism. And I always just wonder, cause I'm not artistic. I don't think I am, but you know, I get critiqued about my sports opinions and, you know, how I come about them, I guess. Mm-hmm. And I just always feel like you can't really critique it. Like, you can't.
Yeah, it's your opinion.
Yeah, it's like, it's my opinion. Like, you can't, I don't say things that are facts easily, you know, proven.
Yeah. But
it's always funny to me when I give opinions about stuff and people, like, try to critique it. And I just be like, shut the fuck up.
Like they know it all.
Yeah. Like, they fucking know it all. Speaking of people thinking they know it all, the NFL draft. You got drafted.
Mm-hmm.
Seventh round. What was that experience like from a dirty ass nigga from North Philly getting drafted?
Shoot, it was a dream come true. I was happy to see my name go across the screen. You know, I pulled my hamstring at pro day, so I was kind of down about it. I'm like, man, I might even get drafted, but I was like, my agent said I was going to be good. Like, I was going to be able to get picked up by a team when I'm drafted or whatever. But I was like, man, I see all these other names go by. I'm like, man, I didn't get time to do my drill. My hamstring is pulled, nothing. And, I was like, you know, I felt kind of down about it, seeing all these names go by. And then, you know, it finally went by. There was like 6 picks left in the 7th round. So the draft was almost over, but I still took it. You know, I was happy just to see my name. You know, the dream. Mm-hmm. I've always dreamt since I was younger. And, it was the excitement. You know, my mom and dad were there. My dad was tearing up and stuff. But, mm-hmm. you know, like, I didn't take anything of it. I got drafted. I was happy. And I went to go work out because I was still trying to rehab my hamstring up. So I was like, man, I got to get ready to play with Carolina because that was the team that drafted me.
We're going to get into, you know, going to Carolina and your journey in the NFL. But I wanted to get your opinion now. You're going into year 8 and you just said that you got drafted lower because you pulled your hamstring at the pro day. Mm-hmm. What is your opinion now that you're a veteran, knowing that these scouts needed a pro day to see what you can do and you have 4 years of film at UConn?
Yeah, I had 4 years of film. I mean, I had about 12 picks my career at UConn. And it was like, man, and then all it takes is me pulling my hamstring at my pro day for them to alter their mind and what they think of me. And I don't know. I think it's just weird. It's just weird. I mean, anybody can look good doing all that type of stuff, but you got to be able to play football at the end of the day. At the end of the day, you got to be able to play ball. You can't be a robot. You can't be out there saying, oh, like this guy, he's real good in these drills. He's real good at his 40-yard dash. But when it comes to going between the lines and having instincts and certain things like that, you know, some people just don't have it. And like, it's like even the stuff with the, you know, how they try to go to the taller corner now. Mm-hmm. You know, I always tell people I'm 5'10". I'm 5'9¾". So I'm always going to say I'm 5'10". But shoot, it's like everybody wants these prototype players outside to play outside corner or fifth person play inside corner because some people have had success doing that, but then they look down upon people that are different stature or whatever, right, that can play the position real well, but because of their height, nobody wants to give them the opportunity to play that position. You know what I'm saying? And it's like it's kind of messed up, but you know, these people upstairs and whatnot, they're going to do what they want to do. You know, it's their business and whatnot. I'm just going to try to handle what I can handle for myself. But, you know, sometimes I feel like it's kind of backwards sometimes.
Yeah, it is very backwards. It's just, you know, nobody wants to say it. Nobody wants to admit it. And meanwhile, people like me who, you know, even though I think that the league is crazy and I think that, you know, the concussions and all that stuff is an issue, I still enjoy the game of football. And I know from the inside, you know, being a wife of a player, I know how much better the game could be if they just shut the bullshit off. Like, just stop the bullshit and just play the motherfuckers that are actually good and pay them. You know, you know, it's like too many games, it's too much business. Oh, well, he's only 5'11". He's better than him. He's 5'9¾". It's so crazy to me that an inch and a half is so important. Like, inch and a half. Like, like we're talking about the best. Your corners are usually the best athletes on your team, right? Mm-hmm. And they argue about an inch and a half.
It's sad. Like, an inch and a half, literally, you shoot. It's two of my fingers put together.
Yeah, it's crazy, right? Like that really matters. Like that just suddenly you're not as good because this guy here, he's an inch and a half taller than you. Let's not ignore, you know, things like this motherfucker can't even move. His hips don't, you know, he doesn't come out of breaks good because he's tall and he's not even that much taller. He's just not as athletic. That's what it is. Yeah. If you find a 5'11 corner that's athletic, that nigga would be incredible. But it's just not out there very often. It's the 5'9 guys and the 5'10 guys. They're more athletic.
Yeah.
That's what
it is. They shy away from it. You know, teams shy away from it because of the height. And it's like, Instead of seeing it that way, instead of already just positioning them just to play like nickel, like I feel as though I'm not just a nickel corner. I play outside left corner and shoot. But I have to play safety. I play safety. But regardless of my height, I mean, still tackling, running, and shoot, catching the ball. Football ain't changed with that. So if it ain't changed since that, then height shouldn't really matter. You know what I'm saying? With any of these teams, if the protocol for football is still tackling, running, and catching.
Yeah. Tackling, running, and catching. Oh, so, yeah, so you get drafted to Carolina. And who's Cam Newton there yet?
Cam came. He came the next season after my rookie season.
Who was there when you went?
Jimmy. We had Jimmy Clausen, quarterback. We had, I forgot who else we got drafted. LaFell. Brandon LaFell, receiver. I think it was.
Y'all was trash that year.
Yeah, we only won 2 games. I don't even remember that year. It was a crazy year.
I remember that.
That was the first time I met Brent, really, because Brent had a good game against us when he came to Carolina.
Oh,
and
word?
I remember being from Philly. So I just went over to say what up to him, because I always respect him as a corner, and I was like, I wanted just to say hi to him. That was it. I didn't know him like that, but I was like, I just gotta shake this dude's hand, this dude a beast, and yeah, that was that.
And this was 7 years ago, dog. Like,
yep.
7 years ago, I was saying my nigga was a beast, and people was telling me I was crazy.
Nah, Grammy's out there doing his thing.
Yes. So Carolina, you know, you get out of there. You know, Cam came the next year.
Mm-hmm.
Then you leave there. You start bouncing around. Why do you think you started bouncing around the league?
You know, I feel as though I didn't, if I knew what I knew now football wise, maybe I think I would have played a lot better back then, or a lot more confident, you know. Sometimes it feels as though, you know, like the way some of these teams do you sometimes, you know, it kind of beats you down a little bit and your confidence down. I just had to find a way to develop that back. And, you know, what really changed my career around, I tell people this all the time, when I came to Atlanta, and, you know, nobody really knew. I mean, you know, Asante Samuels was a big guy. We had picked up that free agency. You know, we had plenty of corners in Atlanta at the time. But, you know, just being around the secondary I was with, you know, they kind of turned my career around a lot, you know, especially Brent. You know, I was over at the house all the time. Yeah, because Brent, Grammy helped me keep my head stable the whole OTAs, whole training camp. Because I was like, I want to play this game sometime. I was about to go join the Marines like I wanted to do after college anyway. But, you know, just being around, like, veteran players like Grimey and Dante and Sant, you know, I was just helped a lot. You know, I just learned a lot watching them play. And, you know, I remember being on that sideline because Grimey was breaking the ball. I think it was a run player pass play the other way. I remember, like, it was yesterday, and Grimey was just, like, breaking on something simple. And because the ball wasn't even thrown his way. And I just see him like pop up and start limping off the field. Like how he hopped. The trainers didn't make it out there because Grammy just hopped off the field by himself. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think anything of it. I'm like, dang. I'm like, I hope Grammy good because I didn't see anything crazy. And then next you know, I remember I was sitting next to you in the bus.
Yeah.
And then Grammy had that boot on. And then I was like, you know, you told me what happened. I was like, man, like that kind of broke my heart. I'm like, man, that's my dude right there. I'm like, dude. Like, I think you only get one catch that game, and you nearly almost broke that one up. It was a good ball.
Yeah.
But I was like, man, you know, I was like, but it was like still, Grammy was there to, like, help me out throughout the whole season, and I got my opportunity to come in there and play at the nickel spot. But, you know, I feel as though if I never got there or was around Grammy or around the players I was around, I wouldn't be here today. You know, I probably would be over in Afghanistan somewhere where I wanted to be at the college anyway, but. It was like, you know, it worked out in a way where it's like, you know, person like Grimey, person like Dante, you know, the veteran guys we had on the team, you know, they helped me change my career around, helped me gain confidence and what I can do out there on the field, you know, just watching them play daily in practice and on Sundays.
People think, like, if you're drafted or even if you, like, just make it to the league that you're this rich, famous person, you're set for life and all this bullshit, but you know, that's not true. And it's so not true that your career and Brent's career is actually the norm in the NFL. Like, there are like way more journeymen. There are way more guys who are on multiple teams who aren't multimillionaires, who aren't on billboards, you know, who are still every year fighting for their job. Like, that's the norm of the league. Why do you think the league doesn't like talk about that? Like, why do you think that isn't like ever highlighted about how guys that are just always just grinding it out and getting there? Like, they make it look like everybody's just so happy and easy and rich and so successful.
Yeah, I feel as though they don't talk about it because it don't fit their business module. It don't fit to how their business is run. So they feel as though, it's like, hey, if they explain to everybody how it is really be a player and how you have to save your pennies and pinch your pennies, especially if you're not getting a certain amount of guaranteed money or a certain amount of this and that in your contract or don't have a big contract. You know, there was so many years I was like, all right, get my apartment and they're out of the season then. Go home, stay with my mom and dad. Cause I was like, I got to pinch my pennies. You know, I was 7th round picks. So I had to, everything I have now, I saved up pennies from way back when, you know, to get the stuff I have now. And it's like, it's hard. Cause if you're not dedicated, if I wasn't dedicated for six and a half, 5 years to eventually have my house, then I'd never have it. You know, if I didn't sacrifice for that 5 year streak, that 6 year streak to get what I want now, then I'd probably be bankrupt somewhere. Or if I was trying to live life like another player that has way more money than me, I wouldn't be as successful as I am now financially to be comfortable where I'm at. You know, I mean, I'm comfortable where I'm at, but you know, I'm always itching and urging for more. You know, to set a security blanket over my family. You know,
right?
But it's still tough. You know, cause I still got to go out there and just earn my spot and earn, because you know, I still feel as though I'm not respected enough as a player at my position. And I know I could play well, and I know I could be, you know, a good corner in the NFL and having a long career. You know, I'm happy for the career I've had, but I'm itching for more. And you know, I just feel as though I still have to prove myself a lot, which is fine. I'm used to that. People doubt people in every field in the world, but you know, it just gives me more energy and more fight to do what I need to do.
What have you learned in your 7 years in the league that you wish you knew coming in? Like something that you feel like it could help somebody that's listening to this right now. Like, what are some of the things you wish you knew?
I don't know. I feel like it's more of a thinking game. Well, Grimey made it simple. The first thing he told me when I got around, he's like, man, football easy. Using meeting room, scribbling on his notebook. He said, all you got to do is cover the man in front of you, and that's it. He said, go after the ball, cover the man in front of you. He said, that's it. And I was like, damn, like, Grimey right. He said, you got to memorize a couple calls here and there. This is exactly what he said. You got to memorize a couple calls here and there that the coach is going to call, and then you cover the man in front of you, and that's it. And I was like, dang. The whole time of my career, I'm like, man, I got to make sure I hit this guy, hit that gap. I got to make sure I tackle this dude this way. You know, it gets so technical during practice, and sometimes the coaches make it so technical. People start overthinking things.
Right, and it fucks up the game, right?
Yeah. It makes you out there thinking. You don't play as confident. You don't have as much fun anymore. So now, going on to my 7th year, now I'm like, I'm having fun now. Like, it's so easy now. I'm like, man, it's just, and that's why I try to tell the rookies now. I try to help them out as much as I can. Cause I feel as though, you know, if I always had guys to help me out to get to where I'm at. And I'm just like, man, I'm like, Grimey, right. And the thing is, I didn't have all that my rookie year or my 2nd year and stuff like that. Not saying I didn't have good people or DBs around me, but it was like, man, nobody ever made it that simple or said it was that simple, you know. It was always a complicated type of game that people always try to make it.
Yeah. So everybody, you know, every Sunday is big. It's only 16 games a whole season, so every Sunday is crucial. However, I'm an athlete, okay? Mm-hmm. And I know there's certain games when I hooped where I was like, okay, let me get my rest tonight. Let me eat my, you know, what I need to eat. Mm-hmm. I need to be focused. I need to be on my shit. Who is a receiver in the league where that'll make you like, okay, let me make sure I'm on my shit tomorrow because this nigga will try to embarrass me?
Oh, shoot. Julio? Ain't no question. I seen this dude. You gotta tell who to slow down during practice because he works so hard. Like that's why I respect about him though. Cause he not guys gonna go out there and talk trash. I mean, he knows. He know. And the thing is, he know he won a tight. You know, you're a top caliber receiver in the NFL. But he worked. He worked like he's not. He works like he's not. And I respect that from a guy like that. And he goes out there. He has fun. You know, he scores his touchdowns and he does his thing year in and year out. I mean,
with no respect.
Well, I'm talking about
with no media respect.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like he even seek that. You know, he's out there doing his thing. He's consistently just keep doing his thing every single year. And it's like, and the thing, he works so hard. That's what I like about it. He works so hard. I'm like, man, you got to respect a dude like that. Because he was first-round pick. And it's like, you think most first-round picks, I'm not saying not all of them, but, you know, first-round picks, some guys just take it as though, like, I made it. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm there. You know, guys that could take that and work even harder and want even more from what they got in life, you know, you got to respect that.
Mm-mm-mm. I tell them all the time, there's no one in the league better than Julio. No one. No disrespect to nobody, but there is no one better than Julio Jones, period.
Yeah, because I don't cover him a lot because I'm mostly in a slot sometimes. But shoot, you gotta be on point covering Julio. You're not gonna ship no lower gears for you to slow down Sunday, whether you hurt or not. You're gonna try to put up some stats. So that's one dude that you gotta fully respect because he takes the game. He approaches the game the way he's supposed to approach it.
That's dope. So what about at quarterback? Is there anybody that you play against where you like, man, this motherfucker always catches me slipping. Like he got a ball that you just, you know what I'm saying? Like you respect it.
Brady.
Brady, huh?
Yeah. And I was in New England for a little bit after my last year in Atlanta, you know, New England signed me and just watching his work ethic and how he practices and. I mean, dude talks so much trash during practice. It's kind of you got to respect a guy like that, man.
In practice, he be shit talking y'all.
I'm talking about the whole defense.
Has he shit talked you though?
He talks trash to the whole defense.
What he be saying?
Everything, man. But he's such a competitor. Like you just gain off of it though. Like the way he talks trash to the defense and to the D coordinators and stuff, everybody looks at it like, all right. Like it just brings that competitiveness up there. In New England, you see
shit
why.
To the D coordinator too.
Everybody,
that
I mean,
is so Brady, baller.
Yeah, and but Brady and him are real good friends too. But it's like, man, you could tell he wants to win. He likes winning, and he wants to compete. I mean, they go up there and they compete. It's competition on everything. And when you have a team like that, they have competition on everything. And the leader of your team is out there pushing guys that he hasn't even met before to go run this route properly, or go out there and make a play on defense, or go out there. And work hard, if you got a guy like that at the peak of your team, the caliber and the captain of your team, then it's like, hey, man.
It shows. That's why they got five rings.
Yeah, exactly.
It shows. And nobody wants to say he's the GOAT, but he is. I mean.
Yeah, he is. Hands down.
Yeah, just leave it alone. Like, it's him. It's him.
Yeah.
We all just need to, maybe he'll retire once we finally say everybody says it's him. He'll retire because I don't think he's gonna retire until everybody say, "Okay, it's you, Tom."
Nah, not now. Strong his arm is still.
Man, I think if they just finally just like put a cape on him, like put a statue up with a cape on him, and with a goat head, that's what they need outside Gillette with Tom Brady jersey. With a goat head and a cape on. That's what his statue should be. Right outside the motherfucking stadium. Oh, man.
Yeah, dude changed the game, man. He was a sixth round pick, man. So he knows what it's like to like you said earlier, you know, just be scrapping for reps and go out there and just try to take advantage of the opportunities that they give you. And, you know, he's given opportunities to take advantage of it because he works hard and he prepared for it.
Yeah, Tom, I can't even argue with that one. Wanted to segue a little bit. This weekend's Memorial Weekend. Happy Memorial Day. I don't know if you do. You have any family in the military?
Yeah, grandfather's in the Army. Brother been in the Army 19 years. Mom and dad work federal government, and that's pretty much it right there. And I have a couple cousins. I think I have a cousin that's in the Marines. But yeah, I already have my paperwork filled out at the college to join the Marines if football didn't work out, so.
Boy, you better than me. I would never. Man, it's a lot of things I'd rather my son do before the military, and that's just the stuff I know. Like, it's so hard to see, what happens to the veterans and how they don't have help and assistance, and the suicide rate, and like, it just
Yeah, they don't get paid a lot either.
they don't get
Don't
paid a
get
lot.
paid a lot.
Yeah, it just really sucks. It really does. And it's kind of like difficult because everybody like celebrates Memorial Weekend, but a lot of people don't celebrate it because it's such a sad time because they most of the people are either passed away or just not well in general. There's just a lot of military that are homeless, and there's a lot of mental health issues, and I just feel like our government does not do enough for them. So it's like, what are we celebrating?
It could be a lot more done for them, and it's like I feel as though the United States in general just pours a lot of money into stuff we don't need. I mean, yeah, we pour a lot of money into our military. That's our military technology, though. Not really what the salaries of what everybody out there in the field is doing.
But I celebrated Memorial Weekend this weekend for the first time since I've been with Brent. I know you saw my Snapchat.
I seen the swimsuit. I seen the swimsuit.
I was lit all weekend, all fucking weekend, and it was so fun. Like, I felt like I was in college again, or like just, no responsibilities. It was hard on my body, hard. I am struggling today, like struggle guts. But one thing that I noticed, and I got a lot of compliments about, and I don't want to hear any compliments from you about this, but I got compliments about my skin, and it was like my friends were like touching my legs and everything, and they were like, "Oh my God, your legs feel so soft and so smooth." And I have to give the credit to the Dollar Shave Club, one of my sponsors of my podcast. Like, I'm not even kidding. I was on a yacht party with Portia. You know who Portia Williams is, right? I was on a yacht party with her, and I had on a different, this was the day before, 2 days before, and I had on a different bikini. And she was like, how are you able to wear these like high-waisted bikinis and you don't have a lot of stubble or razor bumps? And I was like, well, I think a lot of it has to do with that I wax, but I have been using this shit. Like, I really have been using it. And it is so much better than the little pink ones that I've been using, like the ones you get in the little pack or whatever.
Yeah, a little bit. I don't really.
What razors do you use? Because you got a full beard, like you got a beard.
Nah, see, I can't use no razors. I use clippers.
Use clippers.
Shoot,
Do you
my hair
ever?
grows so fast. I just let my hair grow sometime. I got my Philly beard up sometime.
So you never use a razor?
Nah, I can't. My skin's too sensitive.
Too sensitive. So you're not even interested in trying this razor? Because I'm telling you, it's bomb, Rob. I feel
Nah,
like.
not nah, nah. Not on my face.
What do
My
you
face.
shave anything else?
Nah, shoot. Just my just my just my just my my facial hair. That's it. I'll cut my facial hair down a little bit. That's it.
But you use clippers.
Yeah, I gotta use clippers.
Well, if you ever decide to use a razor, even if you get it really low and you just need to like line it up or keep it down low, you have to try Dollar Shave Club. These razors are really, really good. Like, I can't even believe I'm saying this because at first I was just like, it's probably not that much better than the shit I already use. Like, it's not going to be a big deal. But the shit is really dope. And the shave butter, they got some shave butter. I don't just use any product anymore. I've learned how product really fucks with my skin. And I don't like breakouts and discoloration and all that shit. So I was scared to use this shit, but I looked up the ingredients and I'm like, oh shit, I'm rolling. And so I've been using it and it's been dope. And I'm hoping maybe one day you might try it.
Yeah, I may have to
Maybe.
check it out now.
I'm getting Brent. Yeah, I'm getting Brent on it because he uses razors too, but he doesn't use this one. So he's the one that too's been rubbing my legs all fucking weekend. And so I'm like, okay, I'm going to get Brent on it. And this is the perfect time because for a limited time, new members get their first month of the Executive Razor with a tube of their Dr. Carver's Shave Butter for only $5 with free shipping. After that, razors are just a few bucks a month. That's a $15 value for only $5. In your first month's box, you get an awesome weighty handle, a full cassette of four cartridges, and a tube of their Shave Butter. After your first month, replacement cartridges ship automatically at the regular price. There are no hidden fees and no commitments. Cancel anytime. You can only get this offer exclusively at dollarshaveclub.com/Miko. That's dollarshaveclub.com/Miko. Boom.
Yeah, that don't sound legit.
Are you single?
Yeah, I'm single.
You're single. Because I was going to say, get one for your girl. But since you're single, that's good because you're coming out here, right?
Mm-hmm. Thursday.
Thursday? How long are you
flying? I'm flying. I got to go back Friday. Oh, I got to go pick up Selena.
I can't even hook you up on a date.
What do you mean? What are you talking about, Miko?
I'm talking when you come out here.
They woo.
I might have
big,
somebody
big,
I want
big,
you.
You a trip.
I didn't know you were single. I didn't know you were single. You just said you're single.
Yeah.
You're single. I might have somebody that might want to go on a date with you. I think you're a nice guy. And it's crazy that you're single. It's crazy. You got all your teeth. You're attractive. You're clean. You're smart. Yeah. You know?
Yeah. I just try to stay focused on Bar now and Lena. Little Selena,
your daughter. Tell us about Selena. She has so much personality. Her in this damn purse on your Snapchat. Oh my God.
Girl, guys, she got like 15 purses. She got one that's like a big old emoji.
Why does she hold it like such a lady already?
she real observant. That's one thing I know is butter. That's what my mom and dad always said. I was real observant. That's why I pick up things real fast. Cause she draws the same way I draw. She paints, all that stuff, and like she, real athletic, toned up muscles and triceps and everything. Like it's like a little duplicate of me, you know. Sometimes, and she has a good amount of mom too. But it's like she's just so smart. She's just so observant, and she pick up things so fast. Like people don't even realize that she's two sometimes.
Yeah, she is. Remember, every time she see me, she take like good 30 minutes to warm up to me. She just needs to fill me out.
Yeah. Yep. And then next thing you know, she put any lip gloss on.
Yes. Then she got all her makeup kit. She put all her, she done gave me a whole, beat my whole face. I'm like, Selena, why we got to go through this awkward 30 minutes before you just come on in? Like when you see me, why do I have to always get the warm up? I think I need to come around more often, probably.
Yeah, she funny. I'm about to bring her down there. She funny, man. She's so funny. She got a little opinion now about stuff. But she watched a little anime and a little fight and stuff, Dragon Ball Z women and everything. She be imitating Dragon Ball Z, Iron Man, all that stuff. Girl trip.
So you've been watching the NBA playoffs?
A little bit. I normally watch the tail end of it. So when stuff starts getting real, that's when I like watching it.
What's the tail end? You talking about like the finals?
Yeah, finals Eastern Conference and Western Conference.
How you from Philly and you not a diehard, like a crazy hoops fan? What do you mean? You watch every game.
See, in Philly, you either big on hoops or you big on football.
And you big on football.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyways.
Dude, my brother's 6'1", so he's a basketball player in the family, so he definitely on.
I'm not even going to respect you. I was going to get your finals opinion, but now I already know I'm not going to respect it.
You can't take my opinion on it. You can't take my opinion on it. Can't take it.
I don't even take it, huh? Just leave
not
it.
Gonna think it. I'm big in motocross too, so I've been watching a bunch of that stuff on the weekends too.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, so I'm big. I do a lot of crazy sports.
I forgot to mention that too, that you do the bike race. You trying to get my fucking husband on one of these bikes.
Don't worry. Grimes gonna be on a bike.
When did I tell you that Brent Grimes could get on a bike with you or by himself?
Playing ball. When you retire.
You know why? You know
we
why?
We out there trying to get, this money.
I try to get this motherfucking money. And I already know who my husband is. He's a child. Yeah, yeah. And you put him on one of these bikes, these dirt bikes, and he going to try to do all types of dumb flips and dumb shit he cannot do because this is who he is. Next thing I know, the check is fucked up.
So yeah, I already picked him up in my speed demon, my race car, my NASCAR. So
I already know he's having the time of his life with you right now in this car. I already know. next he going to want some type of General Lee or some shit to race around in. I'm going to be like, oh, my God, Jesus. But I was glad to drop your homie off to you for a few days. You know, Brent showed up to OTAs. He's gonna be there this week. You guys get to hang out all weekend.
I'm excited, man. I'm excited because I be laughing at stuff in memes. I'm like, man, where Grime be at, man? I'm like, man, I know Grime be cracking up at this. I'm like, no, but everybody seems to be real serious sometimes. I'm like, man, I know this is funny. I know I'm not the only one that's supposed to be laughing
right now.
No,
you know, that nigga ain't even on social media. So he don't even, like, he's not up to speed on any of the funny memes, like nothing. I try my best to keep him up on, like, stuff that's happening on social media, but he doesn't give a shit. Like, he does not care what happened to who, when, what, nothing. That motherfucker don't care about nothing going on in the world.
That's why all I post my pictures is my daughter, my art, and then shoot. Everybody want football pictures, they're going to have to wait on that. If I find one I like, maybe I'll post it, but shoot. I'm going to post what I like.
Mm-hmm. Good for you. Good for you, because they will trap you into being whatever they want you to be on social media. Mm-hmm. Hey, why aren't you posting stuff about how awesome it is to play for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Nigga, because this is my social media and I post what the fuck I want to post.
Like, right, I got a life. I got another life.
Yeah, that's crazy that they don't want you to have another life. But as soon as you do say something outside of football, that's when they tell you, stick to sports.
Mm-hmm.
Stick to sports. Fans are funny, though. You got to love them and hate them, man. I swear to God.
Yeah.
Love them and hate them. But thank you for joining me, Rob.
Oh, no problem.
Thank you. This was pretty cool. I feel like I even learned some stuff about you. And thank you for coming out to our party on Thursday. I'm so excited.
I'm not missing that. Right now, hey.
I don't know how fun it's gonna be, but I'm gonna try to make it fun. But I just appreciate you coming.
I'm not worried. I'm not worried about that. I already know it's gonna be lit. So I'm not even worried.
All right, then. Well, I'll holler at you later, and y'all have fun this week hanging out.
All right, mate.
All right, peace.
All right, see you.
Shout out to Rob McLean. I call him Black Rob because Aiden actually gave him the nickname Black Rob. We have a friend who's white whose name is Rob, and then we met him. And so I remember one day Aiden, when we introduced him to Aiden, Aiden said, no, his name can't be Rob. We already have a friend named Rob. He's white. And I was like, well, this is our other friend, Rob. He's black. And he's like, okay, well, he'll be Black Rob. And so that's kind of how we named him Black Rob. And he just goes with it. And it kind of fits, you know, the Black Rob, you know, the rapper. I think he's from Philly. I don't even know, but I think he's from Philly. Anyway, he might not even be from Philly. He might be from New York. So that ain't going to make no sense. But anyway, I'm happy that Black Rob joined me. I'm also happy that he's a Buccaneer. He's one of the players in the league that I do feel is underrated and underappreciated. You know, his hard work and the way he goes about the game and his effort. Those are all things that, you know, that can't be taught. And he just has everything it takes to be great. And I'm glad that he's going to be back in Mike Smith's system. He's going to be back with Brent. And hopefully our secondary has improved from this. And we just get stronger and stronger. Because you just can never have enough corners, in my opinion. Like, you just never can. And especially guys like him who can play inside and outside. It's a great thing to have. So I'm hoping that he and Brent and the entire, you know, secondary gel well together and have a great season this year. So shout out to Rob for joining me. Thank you guys all for listening. Sorry I didn't get any NBA talk off because it would have just been me telling my opinion of the finals. You guys all know who I got. I just haven't said if it's in, you know, in how many games. And I don't really want to say it. I'm just going to, you know, it could be seven, you know, like it was last year. I called it last year, Cavs in seven. You know, I kind of feel like it could be six this year because I just feel like we got the glow about us. And who knows? But, you know, I got the motherfucking Cavs. That's all you need to know. Peace.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.